Well, Colby went rogue and asked for your Mariners trade proposal, so we're going to see what you came up with on today's episode of Locked On Mariners. Colby, hit it.
You are Locked On Mariners, your daily Seattle Mariners podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ahoy, sailors. It is Friday, June 9th, 2023. This is Ted Gonzalez and Colby Patnett for the Locked On Mariners podcast, brought to you by Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use promo code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Thank you so much for making us your first listen. Subscribe, like, and turn on alerts if you're watching on YouTube, or subscribe and leave a 5-star review on your preferred podcast platform if you like what you hear. And if you're part of the crew and rock with us every single day, let us know in the comments below. And if you want to hear from us even more, please consider signing up for our Patreon. You can now get a free 7-day trial to check out the show. The link, as well as our social accounts, is in the description of this episode. And this episode is Fan Fiction Friday, the show where Colby and I grade your Mariners trade proposals. And if this is your first time tuning in to Fan Fiction Friday, this is something we typically do during the offseason. Very simple. You come up with a trade, we grade it on the 20-80 scouting scale. 80 being the best, 20 being the worst. And, you know, most of these end up being around 40 to 50. Sometimes a little bit lower than that. Not often does it go higher than 50, though. But we'll see. Hey, maybe that changes today. Let's start with Accent, who says, it's time to sell high on Jonathan Clase. And he used Jason Churchill's point system, friend of the show, Jason Churchill, to craft this trade. Jonathan Clase, who has a value of 4 on the Churchill point system, and Ty Adcock, who has a value of 3, for Giants outfielder Mike Yastrzemski, who has a value of 5.5. Yastrzemski, of course, is controlled through 2025, as Accent points out here. What do you think, Colby? I know you like Mike Yastrzemski quite a bit.
Yeah, just a blanket caveat for all these trades. We're going to assume the team is selling and the Mariners are buying, assuming it's a Mariners are buying trade. We're just going to assume that the team they're trading with is willing to sell that player, unless it's something ridiculous. But that's Ty's job to weed out the ridiculous. Overall, for this deal, I'm a Yastrzemski fan. I think he's a good fit for the ballpark. Left-handed bat. He's got some pop. Take some walks, can play across the outfield. You want him in a corner, though. I think he's just a good overall fit for the club. Clase, I feel like I'm somehow the low guy on Clase, despite him being in my top 10, just because he's not a good hitter right now. He's not a good hitter. He's not a good center fielder either. He's a guy who's hitting a ton of home runs, and he's stealing a bunch of bags, but he's also posting like a .220 batting average in Double-A, and he's striking out 35% of the time, right around there. He's got a lot of work to do. Adcock's a nice reliever. He could probably help you at the big league level this year at some point. So I think the package overall is fine, assuming San Francisco is selling. But San Francisco is they kind of prefer they'll take less talent to get a guy who's closer to the big leagues. If you want proof of that, they traded Perlander Baroa for Donovan Walton. Like, this is a team who constantly is thinking about how we can squeak every single win out of, you know, mediocre rosters. And they've done it for the last 3 or 4 years, aside from the one kind of outlier year where they won like 110 games. They're a team that doesn't like to rebuild. So a player like Yastrzemski, who has multiple years of club control, that's a guy they're probably going to want to hang on to, or they're going to try and extract as much as they possibly can out of you. So I don't know if San Francisco would do this. If I were Seattle, I would do it all day. So I think overall it's a pretty good value. So just because I think San Francisco isn't exactly a likely seller of guys who have multiple years of club control, I would say that this is probably like a 50.
Yeah, I'll agree with you on that. Yaz, you know, obviously broke out during the COVID season, you know, 54 games. He posted a 158 WRC plus. Since then, he's been, you know, a league average to a slightly above league average bat, you know, decent defender, especially in a corner, you know, really good defender out in a corner. I'm not really sure, you know, how the Giants value that. So this could be enough. Maybe they want a little bit more. Maybe, like you said, they want someone who's closer to the big league level than Class A. Ty Adcock doesn't really do a whole lot for me here. He doesn't really move the needle because Ty Adcock's are a dime a dozen. Like,
yeah, he's a middle guy.
Yeah. obviously he's having a good year. He's finally, you know, pitching now. He started throwing last year after getting drafted during, you know, in the George Kirby year, of course, teammates with George Kirby at Elon. Yeah, it's a fine deal. I think this is fine. I'd say 50 to 55. I could see this, you know, happening. And that's, you know, we for again, for those that are new to Fan Fiction Friday, we weigh creativity, obviously, that gets points with us, but we also have to weigh realism with it. And yeah, I think this is realistic. I would not be surprised if, you know, we saw this come across the ticker, and this helps, and the Mariners really desperately need a lefty bat with some pop. And Yastrzemski does provide that. He's had a 25 home run season, he's had a 17 home run season, you know, he's probably a 15 to 20 homer guy really at the end of the day, but that helps. That really does help. So yeah, I like it. This is a good one. Good start. All right, let's move on here to Daisy and the Dingo, who is a common participant in Fan Fiction Friday. Seth Brown for Isaiah Campbell and Zach DeLoach. Colby, you love Zach, or you love Seth Brown rather.
Yeah. Okay. Brown had a huge second half last year, and he's been a pretty popular trade candidate, particularly for Seattle, ever since. We talked about him a lot over the winter. I think he's a good fit. He can play some outfield, play some first base, left-handed bat, tremendous power. So, I like Seth Brown. I think he's a pretty good fit here in Seattle. He's got, I think he's not even ARB eligible until after this year. So he's got plenty of club control. Not having the best year, if memory serves. Also, he's already dealt with an injury. So, yeah, it's probably cheaper to get him now than it was in the winter. But you're not getting him for that trade package. You know, DeLoach is nothing. He's literally nothing. I know he's having a nice year in AAA right now on the back of really what's been a nice week, but he's a fourth, fifth outfielder at best. Like, that's who he is. He's Boog Powell. If you guys remember Boog Powell, that's who Zach DeLoach is. And Campbell's a reliever. He's a decent one, but I think what you found here are probably the second and third pieces in this deal. I think to get Oakland to move off of Brown, you're probably going to have to include somebody as the headliner, somebody like Clase, somebody like Hancock, somebody maybe like Axel Sanchez. Like, I think that's what you're looking at here, because Oakland is a team that's willing to wait for guys to develop. So you don't have to worry about getting guys who are big league ready to Oakland in this deal, but they're just not going to trade him for, you know, what is ultimately a middle reliever and a fourth outfielder. They'd get more if they just waited, hope for a rebound. Cause that's about what they could probably get for him if he was bad for the entire year. So yeah, the package is way too light. In my opinion, it would be great if Oakland accepted that. I do backflips. So, but it's not a realistic, trade offer. I think you have to throw in Hancock or Sanchez or Clase or Locklear at the very least to get Oakland interested in something like that.
I'm not a huge Seth Brown fan. I'll just say that first and foremost. Like, you know, he hits a lot of home runs. He walks quite a bit, but he's not a high on base guy. He's not a high average guy.
Look at the second half last year, Ty.
Okay. And then he's come back this year, and obviously he's been hurt, but like, he hasn't been good.
Go look at the second half last year, Ty.
Cool. Half a season. Awesome.
He was like the fourth best hitter in the American League for like 80 games.
Half a season. So you want to base that? You want to say that Seth Brown is really good based off of half a season out of five?
I didn't say really good.
Parts of five season.
I didn't say really good. I said he helps.
So you want to trade Emerson Hancock for him?
Yeah, I would. I'm going to be worried about trading a number four starter. Ooh, don't have any of those floating around.
Not a huge fan. So. I also think this is light, though. I do agree with you that it's too light. Zach DeLoach right now, he's having, you know, statistically, like when you look at the slash line, good year down in Tacoma, but he's striking out way too much. He's unspectacular defensively. He's a fourth or fifth outfielder at the major league level. And then Isaiah Campbell, like Ty Adcock, dime a dozen. So,
yeah.
I'll give this like a 45, 40.
Like, 35.
Because it's close. It probably gets the conversation started. Like, you need a you need a better piece. You need a bigger and a better piece to headline this thing, though. Like, I'm sure those are a couple pieces that the A's are like, okay, sure, fine, but we need something juicier to hang on to here.
Maybe. We'll see how cheap they are. They don't want to pay Seth Brown the $2 million or something he's going to make an ARB.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't see this getting the job done. So I know Ty still thinks Emerson Hancock can be a number two, but he's back into the rotation guy for me. So yeah, I trade him for a bat. But
I just traded for a different bat.
I mean, sure. When if you can get a better one, yeah, do
it. When that has a bit more track record than Seth Brown.
That's fine by me. Yeah. But yeah, I'll give this one like a 35.
Yeah. All right. I'll say 40. I'll say 40 on that. All right. We got a few more trades to go over. We're also going to do our own trade a day. And I think we're going to do Seth Brown, right? Is that what we agreed upon? No? Yeah, we'll figure it out on the fly. We're going to figure it out on the fly. All right. First, though, before we get back into these trades, this episode of the Locked On Mariners podcast is brought to you by Game Time. Buying tickets to your favorite events shouldn't be stressful. Game Time is a fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater near you. And with killer deals on last-minute tickets and their best price guarantee, you can stop stressing over the tickets and start getting hyped for the fun you'll have. So forget planning months in advance. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the day of the event. Snag the tickets without the stress with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use promo code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account, redeem promo code LOCKEDONMLB for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. And you're listening to the Locked On Mariners podcast. Thank you again for making us your first listen here on Fan Fiction Friday. Mariners are back in action tonight against the Angels down in Anaheim. You can catch all the action on the Mariners hometown broadcast with SiriusXM via the SXM app. Let's get back into these trades here on Fan Fiction Friday. This one comes from Bard. Oh boy. Giants get Bryce Miller, Josh Hood, Taylor Trammell, and Taylor Dollard for Alex Cobb, Lamont Wade Jr., and J.D. Davis.
No. That's no. So here's the deal. Bryce Miller is worth more than those three guys combined. He is. J.D. Davis you get for 25. A year and a half.
25. Yeah.
J.D. Davis, you get for a year and a half. He's a DH only. Fine, whatever. He could help. Cobb, I like.
Yeah.
But, you know, again, you want to trade 7 years of Bryce Miller for, I think, a year and a half of Alex Cobb?
I mean, all right. You're getting three major leaguers who are having really good years right now. Cobb, sure. Wade, and Davis are all having really good years. But, and that's also kind of what factors into the into the 25 grade for me, because I don't see this happening. This is one for one kind of unprecedented, you know, seeing three like above average major leaguers this year get traded all in the same deal. And then for Bryce Miller, who, I mean, look, you're replacing him with Alex Cobb in the interim, but long term that hurts your rotation.
I don't think Trammell and Dollard are worth all that much in this deal either.
And also, can Wade Davis and Ty France all coexist on the same roster together? I mean, they could, but it's not a great
Wade Davis have to do with this.
Sure. Yeah. Shout out to Wade Davis, all-star closer.
Yeah. It's not an ideal roster fit, because you're just kind of putting yourself into the Chicago White Sox mold, where it's like, we have three, four guys in our everyday lineup who should really only be playing first base. It's like, you might be able to get away with it, but I don't think Dollard adds anything to this trade. He's been hurt and he's been bad, and he's just a number four, number five at best anyways. Trammell is a failed big leaguer at this stage. There's really nothing there that San Francisco is going to get excited about. And honestly, I don't want to trade Bryce Miller for a sub all-star level player. I don't want to do that, because again, we're talking about 7 years of Bryce Miller versus, you know, a year and a half of Cobb, who's like a number four, number three, somewhere in that range. Miller might be there already. We'll see how he pitches this weekend. And then Davis and Wade are having good years and they're good bats, but they're limited players who, you know, aren't really ideal fits here. And I don't see how you're going to get all three of those guys for essentially Bryce Miller. So I don't think this works for San Francisco. I don't think this works for Seattle.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, you're kind of shooting the moon here and you're missing.
It also seems like an overreaction to Bryce Miller's last two starts.
Right.
It feels like, again, you're pushing the panic button a little bit here.
It feels like an overreaction to 2023 in general. Like, we have to make 2023 work at all costs. It's like, no, you don't.
Yeah.
I get why you want to, because 2023 is now, but that's just not how it works. The Mariners are going to push the panic button on the entire rebuild to try and squeeze an extra two wins out of this 2023 roster. It's not going to happen. So I guess like a 30.
Yeah. 25, 30 doesn't really matter to me, but it's I just don't think it works on either end, like you said.
I don't think it's realistic. I do think it's not creative, but it's not realistic.
It's very MLB the Show.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Larry has Ty France, Brian Wu, and Axel Sanchez going to the Cardinals for Paul Goldschmidt. Are you sensing a theme with this segment, with this portion of Fan Fiction Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Lots of
this
panic.
This was purposeful.
Yeah, lots of panic. No. First of all, the Cardinals, they're not going to trade Paul Goldschmidt. They're not. They got him for another year after this year. They're going to be like the Mariners. If they have a down year this year, they'll just reload and try again next year. So they're not going to do that, even with the addition of Ty France to kind of give them a long-term first baseman. Teams don't care about that. They really don't. At first base, at least. Goldschmidt's significantly better. Wu is obviously, you know, interesting. But again, that's 7 years of Brian Wu for a year and a half of Goldschmidt, and the half year might not even amount to anything, because Goldschmidt's great. And if you get him here, cool, but
you're not going to get him here for that.
No. You're not gonna get him here for that. But also you get him here for this year and you don't make the playoffs because Teo never gets it going and Julio never gets it going the way he did last year. And Gino's kind of in his funk or whatever. Well, now you get Goldschmidt for 1 year before he leaves for free agency. Mm-hmm. And it's cost you Brian Wu. It's cost you Ty France, who would be here next year. And it's cost you a high upside prospect. Like, I know, like, this deal's just not going to happen. I will give you credit for creativity, you know, putting Ty France in a trade to try and upgrade there. So I give you credit for that. But just in terms of realism, this is another one that I just, like, I would be absolutely floored if this came across the ticker like ESPN or whatever.
Yeah, the creativity saves you from the 20s, but this is like a 35 at most for me.
I'll give you a 40.
I just, look, this is the defending National League MVP. I get he's a first baseman, but this is the defending National League MVP who's having another really good year right now. And the Cardinals, like you said, can easily just retool in the offseason and get right back to contending next year. And they're going to want someone like Paul Goldschmidt around for that. You know, France obviously does like balance it out a little bit, but even with Ty France there, that doesn't lower the prospect capital enough to the point where you're like, here's Brian Wu, and here's who's like our seventh best prospect, sixth best prospect, and here's Axel Sanchez, who's taken a step back this year. Mm-hmm. Like, the Cardinals could ask you for Harry Ford or Cole Young, and they on top of Ty France and maybe on top of just this package in general, and they might not be wrong to do it. So
they probably ask for Bryce Miller.
They might ask for Bryce Miller. They might ask for Logan Gilbert or George Kirby. This is the defending National League MVP. I get he's a first baseman. Right. I get the club control is very limited, but this is one of the 10 best hitters in baseball.
Yeah. I mean, look at what Juan Soto went for last year. Now, it's not going to be as much as Soto because Soto's
obviously younger as well, too. Yeah.
Right. But look at that package. And if I'm St. Louis, I'm like, look, you're basically having to pay us to not compete for two straight years. That's how I have to look at it. Because if I trade you my best player, then not only is this year a failure, then the overwhelming odds are is that next year's a failure. Because I don't think I can replace Goldschmidt. So you have to kind of force, your offer has to be so good that they're willing to risk back-to-back, you know, failures of a season. Does that sound like something St. Louis is going to do? And does that sound like something Seattle would be willing to do? No, it just, it's not going to happen. So yeah, I'll give you 40 for, because the creativity was high, but there's just no realism to this one.
Yeah. And the buck stops there. All right. We got a couple more trades and then we're going to get into our trade today, our very own trade proposal in just a moment. But first, a reminder, this episode of the Locked On Mariners podcast is brought to you by Bird Dogs. Now, I hate shopping for summer clothes. I just want to be comfortable no matter if I'm at the ballpark or back at home recording an episode of Locked On M's. Oftentimes, though, I find myself settling for clothes that feel cheap, tight, and restricting and make me sweat in all the wrong places. Gross. I know. Thankfully, Bird Dogs has me and therefore you covered. Their wide selection of insanely comfortable shorts, joggers, sweatpants, polos, and more have me ready for any occasion this summer throws my way. I mean, who doesn't love stretchy fabric and built-in underwear? It's time to look good, feel good, and play good this summer. Go to birddogs.com/lockedonMLB, and when you enter promo code LockedOnMLB, they'll throw in a free custom Bird Dogs Yeti-style tumbler with every order. Because what's even more important than staying comfortable this summer? Staying hydrated. And you can do both with Bird Dogs. Again, that's birddogs.com/lockedonMLB. And you're listening to the Locked On Mariners podcast. Thank you again for making us your first listen here on Fan Fiction Friday. Again, Mariners and Angels getting after it tonight down in Anaheim. You can catch all the action on the Mariners hometown broadcast with SiriusXM via the SXM app. Let's wrap things up here with our final two trades from our listeners. This one comes from HamSwaggerty69 here on 6-9. Look at that. Cardinals get Emerson Hancock, Jonathan Clase, Tommy Edman. So another Cardinals trade. Emerson Hancock, who you hate. Jonathan Clase, who you hate. Tommy Edman, who
both you top hate. 10 prospects in a pretty good system, but sure, yeah, I hate them. zero. The Cardinals aren't trading Tommy Edman. Like it just dies right there. The Cardinals are not a good trade fit for the Mariners. Can we just say that? Like, they're sure. Not a good trade fit because honestly, they're very similar. There are two teams that came into this year with high expectations. Things haven't gone their way. The Mariners have managed, you know, a little bit better than the Cardinals have, but they're also teams that want to compete next year and the year after and the year after. They're not a good trade package. The Mariners don't have the starting pitching to give up that St. Louis really needs. And St. Louis, what they have to offer Seattle that's actually reasonably available, doesn't really make a lot of sense. You're talking about what? Tyler O'Neill, another high strikeout guy. You're talking about Dylan Carlson, a guy who can't really hit. And you're talking about a couple of bullpen arms. Like, fine, whatever. They're bullpen arms. Like, you're not getting Lars Nootbaar. You're not getting Arenado. You're not getting Gold. You're not getting Goldschmidt. You're not getting Edman. Like, what's
might
there
get
to
Paul
take?
DeYoung, but
yeah, you might get Paul DeYoung, but you're not getting any of their, like, guys that they consider everyday players for them. It's not going to happen. So
yeah, I think the Mariners and the Cardinals only really line up if it's a major leaguer for major leaguer swap, really, because considering where they both are right now, I don't think a prospect package mm-hmm. one of their major leaguers really is something that the Cardinals are looking for right now.
Yeah, I look at Tommy Edman and I look at a guy like you know, like Lars Nootbaar, who I know is, you know, a pretty popular name thrown around. The Cardinals aren't in a position to trade them, not for prospects.
Yeah.
Because they think they can win next year. So, I don't see Tommy Edman. Good player, but the Cardinals are going to keep that guy around for a while. And he's going to be part of the next wave of Cardinal players after, you know, Goldschmidt leaves next year. If he does, but yeah, I don't see it. And even if they were, that package isn't going to get it done. Edman is a really good defensive player who isn't terrible at the plate. It's going to cost more than that.
Yeah. League average bat with a, you know, gold glove potential, plays up the middle, et cetera. Look, maybe we're wrong, but just looking at the Cardinals, looking at where they are, at, looking at what their philosophy is, you know, knowing what their philosophy is and how that kind of, you know, that lines up pretty well with what the Mariners' philosophy is. I can't see it personally. So I'll go 30.
Yeah, 35.
Yeah. All right, last trade from our listeners. This one comes from Mark: Lane Thomas for Jonathan Clase and Marcelo Perez. mean, it's fine, but Thomas is a right-handed hitting power bat who strikes out quite a bit. He's kind of what the issue has been with, you know, obviously he's having a good year. Like,
he's younger AJ Pollock.
Yeah.
He crushes lefties. Bad against righties. I think he has a career 81 WRC plus against righties, yeah, but a 181 against lefties or something insane like that. Like, it's ridiculous. He crushes lefties and he plays a pretty decent outfield. And he's having a good year right now. You get him for, I think, 2 years after this year. So
yeah,
not a rental.
He's not even, I said he's a power bat, but he's actually not even really that, right? Like, career high in home runs is 17. Obviously he hasn't played that many games in general, like career highs, 146 games. Other than that, he's never played any more than 77. Right now he's at 60. I assume that he's going to eclipse that this year. But again, he doesn't, like, the last 2 years hasn't walked a lot. He's striking out, you know, 24-25% of the time. He's got extra base power, not really over the wall power. He's got doubles power, you know, but again, he hits from the right side. Strikeout issues. This is kind of, again, he's having a good year on unlike some Mariners right now, but still, that's the model of player that has struggled at T-Mobile Park this year. So I don't know. It's not really a super attractive trade for me. Fine. Like, the value is fine on it, whatever. Like, I'm not losing my mind over that. I'm not losing sleep over that, but I'm also not particularly excited about it either. So go like 45 because it's probably realistic, but
is it?
I don't know what the Nationals would want for Lane Thomas. Yeah, you're coughing a lot.
Yeah, we probably should end it after this segment. I got a dry throat right now, but
all right.
The thing with Lane Thomas is that, like, at best his ceiling is like Mitch Haniger, which would be appealing. Except Mitch could also hit righties. We don't really have any evidence that Thomas can. So you're proposing is trading, you know, an upside prospect, Class A, for everything I don't like about him. There is certainly an upside there. You're trading him for a platoon guy, for a guy who shouldn't be an everyday player on a good, you know, on a good team. Now, if you think that he is Mitch Haniger and you can help him hit righties a little bit better, just be like league average against righties, then fine. That's totally viable. But right now you don't have a problem in your outfield hitting left-handed pitching. You thought you would because Pollock isn't, but Kelnick's better against lefties. Julio and Teo, you're not taking them out of the lineup. So you're trading a high upside prospect for a DH who can't really hit righties. Like,
for a platoon DH.
Yeah. So, like, it's not terrible. You know, and I know it made it sound like Lane Thomas is a bad player. He's not bad.
No, he's having a good year. He's a 114 WRC plus guy this year.
Like, he's a solid player. He's a solid player who has multiple years of club control. Yeah, I think he's a totally viable target. I just think you're overpaying a little bit here with Class A because, again, Thomas is a platoon guy. That's how you have to view him if you're going to acquire him. He's going to crush lefties. He's going to be below average and, you know, somewhere between 10 to 20% below average is pretty significant. So, I think Thomas is a fine target. I just think this is a bit of an overpay. But honestly, I think it's something that the Nationals might ask for. So I think your thought on what the Nationals might want for Lane Thomas is probably dead on. So I think from that standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. For me, if I'm the Mariners, I'm probably saying no. But I think the valuation is about right. So I'll give it a solid 50.
Okay. All right. Yeah. All right. So we're not doing the trade today.
I'll throw one at you if you want to react to it.
How about we do this? How about you just say what it is and no context other than that, and we let our listeners grade the trade.
Oh no.
I think they deserve this. I think they deserve the opportunity to do this because
well, see, the thing about my trade that I was going to call an audible on, it was, I don't think you have to give up this much to get the guy, but it's one of those, like, would you just do this? Like, just sure. Like, who, it's almost really more of a, would you rather have this guy or this guy type of deal? Cause it's a one for one.
Okay.
So just the trade that I came up with last night, Alex Verdugo for Ty France.
Alex Verdugo, who has consistently proven to be a clubhouse issue for known clubhouse guy type heads.
How do you know that?
We've literally talked about this. What are you talking about? He was wasn't he benched for a hustle issue?
Yeah. Did you watch the video?
No, I didn't watch the video. No.
Go watch the video and tell me that that wasn't just retribution. Like, that was not a hustle issue. So that it was a BS call by Cora. Yeah. The two bats, you can't deny, are pretty much the same, except for Verdugo has a better shot to hit for power, or sorry, better chance to hit for a higher average. He's not prone to the long struggles that France is. And also, oh, by the way, he doesn't get hit in the wrist every third day, so that's a bonus. He's a lefty bat who can play all three outfield spots. He gets on base, roughly the same batting average, and he's got doubles power. It's not home run power, but it's doubles power. He's basically left-handed, more athletic Ty France. And they both have the same amount of club control.
Yeah.
Do you want a more athletic Ty France, or do you want Ty France?
I just worry about the clubhouse foot.
Which we don't know. We don't, because
during the offseason, I remember you clearly saying, like,
right.
You,
and then that same person said, I've been told that he's really matured. It's not much of an issue anymore. And he's totally fine in a clubhouse. So I don't know. Do you want a more athletic Ty France? Yes or no? Who's left-handed?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Now, again, I would
in just a vacuum, in a vacuum, it's fine. In a vacuum, it's fine. Yeah.
I would just point this out. You may not need to give up Ty. You could add Ty France and Alex Verdugo on the same team.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think you need to trade Ty France to get Verdugo, but if push came to shove and that's the only way you could get him, would you consider it? Because you should.
So, quick follow-up question. I actually asked you this on the Patreon yesterday. I think it was on the Patreon. Maybe I asked you off air. But what would be your plan at first base for just 2023, the rest of the way in 2023, if you did trade Ty France?
I'd trade for Jhumeir Candelario.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, folks, it's up to you. You grade Colby's trade down below.
Just remember,
I think you've earned this.
Sure. I mean, just remember, I may or may not screenshot your grades, and they may or may not play into, you know, card giveaways in the future. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Be bold. Oh, please. I had the work ethic to screenshot those, and put them into a folder and be like, I was going to pick you to win the card.
He's too lazy for that. He's way too lazy for that. Yeah.
It's accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. So go ahead. Drag him mercilessly. You have my full support on that front.
Here's the problem with that, Ty. By giving me like a 20 or something like that on that trade, you're admitting that you don't know ball. Because... Nope, because you cannot sit here and say that Alex Verdugo and Ty France aren't very similar players, and that Verdugo might actually be a better fit for your ball club than Ty France, because he's a lefty, he's athletic, he can play multiple positions. Ty France can't do any of that. So go ahead and give me the 20, but you're wrong, like objectively wrong, because Ty right there himself can't bring himself to give me a 20 because he knows that's at least a 50 because it's creative. It's creative. It's good valuation. It makes sense for both sides. Go ahead. Try and tear it apart. You can't.
The only thing you can say
is that you don't have to give up Ty France to get Alex Verdugo, and you might be right. That's the only knock against it.
You don't know ball.
Hmm?
You don't know ball.
I disagree.
I don't, personally. That's going to do it for our show. Thank you so much for joining us here on Locked On.
You really
want to
poke the bear here, Ty? You really?
Okay. We're here at the end.
That's fine.
He's going to do something. Whatever it is, just know it doesn't represent me. For Colby Patnode, I'm Ty Dane Gonzalez. Be sure to give us a follow on Twitter at @LO_Mariners. You can follow me at Dane Gonzalez. It's DaneGNZLZ. And Colby at CPAT11. That's CPAT11. Follow us on Instagram and TikTok as well over at Locked On Mariners. That's one more. I know there's something coming. I just don't know what.
Or
You can also find all that stuff in the description of this episode. Thank you again for making us your first listen. Have yourself a beautiful baseball weekend, and we'll see you next time. Peace.